I just want to share an amazing, amazing testimony of God's goodness and his faithfulness. On Monday the 19th, in fact, let me take you back a little bit further back. A couple of months ago, we, as a church, as a Shofar Franschhoek, but all of the Shofar churches were instructed by leadership to go and pray at the city gates. We're talking about the spiritual gates of the city. So what that meant was, for Shofar Franschhoek, was that we went up, we prayed first to identify the spiritual gates of the city. And I'm just going to name two of them. There were actually five. One was the top of the pass, which was the physical entrance to the town. And the other one is at the sort of stop street where you turn right to go to Wemmershoek on the R301 towards Paarl. At that intersection, we prayed. Now, not only did we pray, we took oil and we poured it across the road. We broke bread. We blew shofars. And really just sealed the gates. We consecrated those gates to the Lord. So anyway, what happened on Monday, the 19th of November? As you know, there's been unrest, farm unrest and some political unrest in our country, or actually not, mostly in the Western Cape. And on the 19th of November, a truckload of protesters came to Franschhoek to come and disturb the schools and the farms. And at that intersection where we prayed, they stopped. I don't know why they stopped. They don't know why they stopped, but they stopped. And then the police came, and everything was diffused, but they could not pass that. And you may think, yeah, praise God. God is awesome. And you may think that that's a coincidence. The exact same thing happened in Stellenbosch. The exact point where they poured oil across the road, the protesters stopped. Now, we have been praying and fasting over this last week for the country. Well, that was one of the things that we've been praying for the political unrest. And the Lord gave me a vision on Monday morning. And I did share it with leadership, and I'm going to share it with everybody because I believe it's crucial to what's happening now. I saw a picture of a city. It was like a walled city with very high walls, kind of like a castle-type city. And there were many watchmen on the top of the wall, looking out for the enemy. And it was a night watch, so it was in the middle of the night, it was dark, and after a long night, there's this bright light that comes in the east, and it looks like the sun is rising. So most of the watchmen go down. They leave their point, they leave their place of viewing, and they go back down to the city. But there's a few watchmen that remain vigilant. And as this light comes, everyone, the guys who left, the watchmen that left, thought it was the sun rising in the east, but it actually wasn't. It was a wall of fire. So the diligent watchman called out to the town below and said, "Fire, fire, you better get ready." And the next thing I see like women and children and people in the center of this wall on their knees crying and weeping. And as they weep and cry, there's this big cloud that comes between the wall of the city and this massive wall of fire that's as bright, almost as bright as the sun, and just holds the fire back. And why I'm saying that is I know on the 19th of November the protesters were stopped. Okay, but don't let your guard down. We've heard again that they want to come this week. So please pray with us. In fact, I'm going to ask us all to pray now. If you will just turn maybe in twos or threes, and just spend the next few minutes just in prayer, praying specifically for the protection of this town. Okay. Father, we come against this rebellious spirit in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, and we stand, Lord. We remain vigilant on that wall, Lord. We will continue to pray, Lord. And Lord, it is not by power nor by spirit, not by power, not by might, but by your spirit, Lord, that this whole situation will be diffused. Lord, I know that there is a gathering this afternoon, Lord. I pray your peace and your wisdom over this gathering, Lord. I pray for negotiations to go as you will it, Lord. We just thank you, Father, that you're a God of love and a God of peace, and we pray that love and peace and protection over the town of Franschhoek in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, we've been doing a lot of praying this week, and it actually got me thinking. Out of all the things that the disciples could have asked Jesus to teach them, have you ever thought about what they asked for? Have you ever thought what they went to Jesus and said, "Teach me this, Jesus"? Peter never went up to Jesus and said, "Hey, Rabbi, teach me that walking on the water trick that you did." James and John never went up to Jesus and said, "We've got a family dinner happening this for lunch with a fish in one hand and a loaf in the other hand," said, "Teach us that gig you did on the hill the other day when you fed the 5,000 people." They witnessed Jesus do a lot of miracles. They never asked him how to turn water into wine, which would have been a pretty nifty party trick. They never asked him how to calm a raging storm. They never asked him to teach him how to pray for the sick or raise the dead. But Scripture tells us, one time, the disciples come up to Jesus and they say, "Jesus," or they say, "Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray." Now before I go into detail the response of Jesus, I just want to show you some statistics about prayer. And this is U.S. statistics, because the U.S. love statistics and they're easy to find. So this is according to a U.S. survey. And it's up there. 84% of all people surveyed claim to have prayed in the past week. 84% of the people prayed in the past week. 96% of all born-again Christians pray weekly. 64% of Christians say they pray once a day. 91% of all women surveyed say they pray occasionally. And 85% of all men surveyed say they pray at least occasionally. The average prayer lasts under 5 minutes. Now, I don't know about you, but that's actually a lot more praying than I expected. A lot more praying than I expected. But it raises a question. How effective is that prayer? In fact, let me rephrase that question this morning and ask you, how effective is your prayer? Do you ever feel that your words bounce off the ceiling? Do you ever feel that the Lord doesn't hear or answer your prayers? Do you ever feel like you're praying to a brick wall? This morning's message is about the very basics of prayer. The very basics. And my message is entitled, "It's a Matter of Focus." Now we're going to study what Jesus taught about prayer, what he had to say about prayer, and how you and I can come to prayer knowing that God will hear us. Without a shadow of a doubt, he will listen to our prayers. Jesus begins by sharing the single greatest truth about prayer. This is the key to all prayer. And I hope you brought your pen and paper to church, because I'd like you to write this down to remember it. This is the key to understanding prayer. The purpose of prayer is to focus on God and what he wants, not on us and what we want. I'm going to repeat that. Prayer is to focus on God and what he wants, not us and what we want. That is why so many of us don't pray like we ought to. That's why so many have actually given up on prayer. We have this idea that prayer is to get what we want, and it's not. It's to get what God wants. Prayer is not all about you. It's all about him. And until you understand that, you will not be able to comprehend what Jesus is trying to teach in the Lord's Prayer. And that label, the Lord's Prayer, is very strange. It's actually not for the Lord. It's for the disciples. So it should actually be called the Disciples' Prayer, as it was intended for us. Anyway, Jesus in the Lord's Prayer, he models prayer and gives us an illustration of exactly how prayer should be approached. Remember, the purpose of prayer is to focus on God and what he wants, not us and what we want. Okay, so what do we focus on? I'm going to share two basic items that I'm going to focus on only two that Jesus shares with us in this passage. The first one is, number one, we focus on the Father's worship. We focus on the Father's worship. Now notice how Jesus starts the Lord's Prayer. He does us a favor, because often the first thing, the first step in any project or conversation or when you're trusting the Lord for something is the first step. So he does us a favor. He says, okay, I'm going to tell you how to start. So in Matthew 6, 9, he says, then this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven. Notice immediately where the focus should be. The focus should be on God. Now, if you think this is easy to figure out, there's a reason why Jesus has said this. The next time you pray, I want you to count how many times you use the first person pronoun. Words like I, me, we, and us. In fact, cast your mind to the last time you prayed or spent any time in prayer. How many times did you say something like this? Lord, I want you to bless me. Lord, I ask you to give me this. We would like you to do this for us over here. So Jesus is giving us a grammar lesson. He's saying, do not be primarily focused on the first person pronoun, but rather the second person pronoun. It needs to be about him, not you. It's important that when we pray, we recognize who we're talking to, where he is, and what he wants. When you do this, you'll have less concern with your needs and more confident that you're praying to a God that can meet your needs. If you put God in his proper perspective, it actually puts your problems in their proper perspective. A mighty God who created the heavens and earth, the universe, the seen and the unseen, put him in his perspective, and your tiny problem doesn't compare. Also understand, my brothers and sisters, you are not praying to an impersonal force. You are praying to a personal Father. A Father who cares about you. A Father who loves you more than you can even begin to understand. If you think about it, Jesus is saying there's only two people in this prayer. There's the Father and there's a child. Now, I want to point out what Jesus is saying here between the lines. And I know it's not very politically correct and maybe may sound a little intolerant, but either way, it's the truth, so I'm going to share it with you. If you want to pray in such a way that you know that God hears your prayers and your prayer is effective, then you have to come to God as a child. Okay? Well, you say, hey, I can do that. Well, maybe you can. Maybe you can't. Because if you've never accepted Jesus Christ into your life and Lord over your life, you're not one of his children. The Apostle John tells us in 1:12, he says, but to all who believed him and accepted him, that's Jesus, he gave the right to become children of God. That is how you get into the family. You get into the family through faith in Jesus Christ. So you cannot pray until you get onto praying ground. And you cannot get onto praying ground until you're one of his children. And the only way you can become one of his children is to believe in him. Invite him into your heart and be a follower of Christ. Anyway, Jesus puts, when Jesus teaches this prayer, I'd like you to actually think about the historical context of what is happening here. So cast your mind 2,000 years back. Here's Jesus. The disciples come to him and say, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Now, I'm sure they all kind of got out their papyrus pads ready to take notes. We really want to hear what Jesus has to say about prayer. So those first two words that comes out of his mouth, Our Father. you could have heard grass growing. There was silence. Did you hear what he just said? He wants us to call Yahweh Father. He wants us to call Adonai Father. He wants us to call El Shaddai Father. He wants us to call Jehovah Father. Did we hear him correctly? Yeah, we heard him right. The reason why this stunned the crowd so much is because there's no evidence of anyone before Jesus referring to God as Father. No one. Go to the Old Testament. Go to the great men of the Bible. Abraham never called God Father. Moses never called God Father. Joseph never called God Father. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Solomon, David, never called God Father. No one called God Father in all of the Old Testament until Jesus comes along. And he says, so you want to know how to pray? It's easy. Call God Father. Call God Father. So before Jesus, no Jew had ever called God Father. No pagan had ever called God Father. Yet you go to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. 167 times God is called Father. Go and study the prayer life of Jesus. 60 times he refers to God as Father in the New Testament. And most of the time when Jesus refers to Father, he's using the Aramaic word Abba. And you know what that means? Daddy. Papa. You talk about intimacy. You talk about an unbelievably close relationship with the Father. You can crawl into his lap anytime. You can go and wrap your arms around him anytime. You can speak to him any place, anytime, anywhere. That is the kind of relationship that God the Father wants with every single one of us in this church. That's the kind of relationship he wants with everybody outside the church. Jesus was saying, he wants to be a father to you. He wants to be a papa. He wants to be a daddy to a child. To a child. Never underestimate prayer. And you will never get into prayer. And prayer will never be a big part of your life until you understand it's just like a child talking to their father. And he's not just a personal father. He's a powerful father. Because Jesus goes on to say, our Father, and he adds two words. And people may think those words are redundant, but it's our Father in heaven. In heaven. Some of you may be thinking, why would he say that? Isn't it obvious that God is in heaven? In fact, everybody knows that God is in heaven. But Jesus makes this part of our prayer to remind us of something. Every time you go and talk to God, it's not the big man upstairs. You're talking to a God who sits on the throne of the universe. He knows all things. He sees all things. He controls all things. And in his time, he will make right every injustice of this world. Then Jesus adds the next four words, and it's, hallowed be your name. To hallow someone's name is really just to give respect and honor to that person. So Jesus is saying, this is how you pray. First, you focus on the Father's worship. Not your needs, his worship. My Father, our Father, you are in heaven. You are in control. So every time we come to pray, we want to honor God, not ourselves. We want to bless our Father, not ourselves. We want to glorify his holy name. So that's number one. Number one is we focus on the Father's worship. Number two, we focus on the Father's will. Now what comes next in the Lord's Prayer ought to come next? Think about this. If God is the Father and we are the children, he's in heaven and we are on earth, we are here to honor him and not him to honor us. We should not only focus on who he is and where he is, but focus on what he wants. So this is where Jesus says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now this part of the prayer has two nouns and two verbs. The two nouns are kingdom and will, and the verbs are come and done. A kingdom is a place where the king rules and the king reigns. So when you ask for God's kingdom to come, please understand what you're asking. Please understand what you're asking. You're saying, I understand that there is a throne in my heart, and somebody needs to sit on that throne. Somebody is going to be calling the shots from that throne in your heart. And you're saying, when you say, I want your kingdom to come, you say, I'm abdicating the throne of my heart. I'm getting off it. I want you to come and sit on the throne of our heart. And Archie said it great the other day. He said, I want you to become president of my life, not resident of my life. I want your kingdom to come. I want your will to be done in both my heart and in my life. Now, we've all said this prayer, and I'm sure most people, if not everybody in this room, can recite this prayer quite easily. But many of you are sitting there saying, yeah, yeah, your kingdom come, your will be done, let's get on with it. This is the hardest part of prayer. This is the most difficult part of prayer. What do I mean? This is the part of prayer that is the point of prayer. This is the part of prayer that is the purpose of prayer. This is the part of prayer that is the priority of all prayer. The priority is not to get God what you want, but to get God to do what he wants. Not to get your will done in heaven, but to get his will done on earth. So this is really the toughest part of prayer. To come to God and say, Lord, I'm taking all of my plans, I'm taking all of my goals, I'm taking all of my dreams and all of my desires, my ambitions, and everything that I want, and I'm surrendering it all to you. All of it. I don't care what it costs. I don't care what it means. I want what you want. I want what you want. I'm telling you again, my brothers and sisters, this is not easy. This is tough. But you cannot go any further with God. You cannot go any deeper in your relationship with God. You cannot go any more for God until you surrender and settle this issue in your life. Before you get to your wants and your desires and your agendas, you have to go to God and say, your will be done. Now, my brothers and sisters, some of you are sitting there all knowingly. This is not easy to do. This is really not easy to do. And I tell you why I know that it's not easy to do, because it wasn't easy for Jesus. You study the prayer life in Jesus. It was amazing. Every time he connected with the Father, every time he fired on all cylinders, it flowed except one time. Do you remember where that was? The Garden of Gethsemane. What was he struggling with? The will of God. The will of God. So he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. And for the first time, Jesus is being honest with his Father and just saying, not the first time he's being honest, but he's being honest in that particular moment. And he's saying to his Heavenly Father, I don't want to do this. And his Father says, I know you don't. Lord, Father, I don't want to go to the cross. I know you don't, my son. Father, I do not want to be separated from you. Since the beginning of eternity, I've been in perfect union with you. I do not want to be separated from you. I don't even want to understand what it's like for people who are going to be in hell and be separated from you for the rest of their eternity. The Lord says, I know you don't. I don't want to experience that, Father. I understand that, my son. Jesus literally sweats blood. The Bible says he sweats blood over whose will is going to be done. The Son's or the Father's? The Bible says it took everything in Jesus to finally say, not your will, not my will, Lord, but yours be done. I'm here to tell you this morning, if you want a real challenge in your life, start praying on a daily basis like you really mean it. Your kingdom come, not mine. Your will be done, Lord, not mine. Not mine. It's the most difficult part of prayer. It was for Jesus, it will be for you. And it's not how, often we get into trouble in our lives and things get messed up. And it's really when we don't pray that prayer. It's when we don't pray, your will be done. And it doesn't matter how the words come out of your mouth, but if they come out, hear the heart behind it. If you go to God and say, look, I don't really care what you want. I'm going to do what I want. That's when you lose your virginity to your boyfriend. That's when your marriage breaks down. That's when you start cheating on your business partner. That's when you get involved in pornography. That's when you start getting addicted to drugs and alcohol. How many people would not be in jail today? How many people would not have shattered lives today? How many people would not have broken hearts today if at a key moment they had said, hang on, stop the bus, let's just wait there. Not my will, but your will be done. The best prayer you can pray for anybody in any situation, at any time, is for the Lord's will to be done. Even when you don't know what to pray, pray for His will to be done. You know why? Because God's will is perfect. It's the right thing, and it's the best thing to pray. It gets better. When you finally get to the point in your heart and you say to God, okay, take everything I am, everything I own, and everything I have, I surrender every bit of it before you, God. When you start doing that, two things are going to happen in your life. First thing is, you will change. And the way you pray will change. It'll put a new energy, a new power, a new vigor, a new connectivity in your prayer that you've never had before. I'd like to finish off this morning by showing a clip. And it's a secular clip, but I really want you to focus on the punchline. Change your words and change your world. Change what you pray and see the world change around you. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning and just close your eyes. Change your words. Change the world. Abba, Father, Daddy, Papa, you reign from your throne of grace above heaven. We want you to come. We want to come into your prayer every day, Lord. Every day in such a way that you know that you're connecting with us. We want to know that you hear us, Lord. Help us to truly understand, Lord, that we want your worship. Help us, Daddy, to change our words so that we can change our focus and turn, and in turn change the world that we live in. We don't want to come with you with a prayer list, Lord. Father, you know already what's on that prayer list. In fact, you laid some of the stuff on our hearts to place on that prayer list. Papa, help us to refocus the words of our prayer. We want to focus on who you are. You are our Father. We want to focus on where you are. You reign from heaven, Lord. We want to focus on what you want, Lord, which is your will to be done in our lives. Lord, let us experience the joy and the power of prayer. But we need to do that by coming as a child comes to its father. And as this child should look at his father, you look at us and say, I want my will in your life. Lord, you're amazing and you can change anything, Lord. I ask this morning, Lord, for a supernatural impartation of what has been shared, Lord, for people to open up their prayer lives, Lord, for them to focus on you first and foremost above everything else, Lord, to give you the worship that you deserve. Lord, it's not about us. It's all about you. You have a plan and a purpose, Lord, and we want to get along line with what you have desired for this church, Lord, and for each one of our lives. Lord, we know that you are coming back for a glorious bride. But Father, there's steps that need to happen before that happens. And Lord, we want to be part of that. So Lord, we take away our fleshly desires, Lord. We take away our own plans, even for this ministry, Lord, for our own lives, for our families, for our neighbors, Lord. We take away, we push all those plans and agendas aside this morning. We submit it all to you, every single desire. And we ask for your will, Lord. Your will to be done. Your kingdom to come. I'm going to ask you to just repeat a short prayer after me. Lord Jesus, the next time I come to that secret place of prayer, I'm not going to talk to you about yesterday. It's gone. I'm not going to talk to you about tomorrow. It's not here. I'm going to talk to you just for today, Lord. I'm 100% present. I'm 100% yours. Thank you that I have the ability in any circumstance, at any place, at any time, to speak to you, knowing that every time I call on my Father, you are not too busy for me. You are not upset that I want to speak to you. You are not bored with my conversation because you love me and you want to talk to me and you want to spend time with me. Just like any father wants to spend time with the child that he loves. Lord Jesus, I want your kingdom to come. I want your will to be done in my life and in my heart. Amen. Lord, I just, while eyes remain closed, Lord, we spoke about being able to come to you as a child. And Father, there's some of us that are not sure of our relationship, of whether we can come to you as a child. And Lord, if there's anybody in this room here today, Lord, that needs to come and seek his Father, to come and get on praying ground, but more importantly, to connect back to the heart of the Father. Lord, I know that all of us have parents, Lord, and all of us have a father, but our earthly father may have not been perfect, Lord. Maybe he did a lot of things wrong. Maybe he spoke a lot of negativity and death. Maybe he ruined a relationship that you can have with your heavenly Father. But I just want to tell you today that the Holy Spirit wants to come and restore you. Wants to come and heal that. Do not compare your heavenly Father to the relationship with your earthly Father. It's incomparably different. So if there's anyone that just wants to come, raise your hand. Come back to that place where you can seek the heart of the Father as a child. Lord, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.